I'd like to start with a familiar verse in the fourth chapter of Proverbs. Four and 23, the Proverbs says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Suppose that if we understood this scripture altogether, we would realize that this is probably the key, would be the key, to all of our victories or failures, right here in this scripture. To keep your heart or not to keep your heart. The matter of salvation is a heart issue. What we do in life has to do with a heart issue. What we do and where we go and all of those things are out of our heart. It's if we could love the things we should love and hate the things we should hate and prioritize everything else, then we'd have the victory, wouldn't we? But the battle is to keep our hearts. The scripture says to keep your heart with all diligence. It takes diligence to keep your heart. Adam Clark said of this scripture, "He who knows anything of himself knows how apt his affections are to go astray." To understand ourselves and to understand that my heart will deceive me. There's wishes and wants and desires and things that I like life. I like things happening. I like to have a hope of something. I like to enjoy things. All of those kind of things. And when life throws me something different than that, I've got to be careful. Because if I'm not careful, I will begin to let my heart go out to things that are exciting that maybe ain't really conducive to the right kind of life. If we're not careful, we will all allow our hearts to go out on. I've had people, I'm not one of them to be honest with you, but I've had people before that wanted to prayer or wanted me to some counseling or something concerning the fact that they had issues with music. There was music, kind of unbelievable to me. I'm not very musical and it isn't my thing. And so the temptation, I can take it or leave it. It's not a thing to me. I wouldn't say it was my greatest or even close to my greatest temptation. But I know people that have had great struggles in their lives over music. It's like I just can't keep from listening to. I know it ain't right. I know it ain't good. There's some bad things in it. But I just can't only hell, we've got to go hard on it. But the scripture says to keep your heart. Make sure you keep your heart. There was a time when nations settled their disputes in war almost in a gentlemanly way. Or at least there was somewhat some kind of unwritten rules of conduct to it. There was a time when the great armies of Britain or France or Spain or something, they would come out in their and mass their men in ranks and files, and they would come in and they would face one another in kind of a situation like that. And then to see who would win, they would battle. And of course, they had strategies and those kind of things, tactics and all that. But they would battle that way. But as war progressed, there became what's been known as total war. And it really first started about, I don't know other places in history, but in the war between the states, there come a time when the Union Army engaged itself into total war. And what they said was that everything that gives the enemy any ability to fight, we're going to take it from him. So they sent an army under Sherman, if you know your history, that marched down through Atlanta, Georgia, and around the South. They went through the South. They had no supply line behind them. They lived off of the land of what they took from whatever they could get. They marched across and they destroyed. They burned fields. They burned houses. They engaged in one of the first times in history what was really known as total war. We are going to take from the Southern Army everything that supports them. Food, water, ammunition, support from home. We're going to come in and destroy everything we can to defeat that enemy. Do you know that the enemy of our souls has always fought total war? Well, he's not a gentleman about this, folks. And I think that the devil is going to come out sometime and say, well, I'm just going to face you in a certain ways here. No, the devil will fight you in total war. He will try to cut off every avenue that will bring you any kind of ability to fight him. He will take off your nutrition. He'll take off your water source. He'll take off your encouragement. He'll take off your ammunition. He'll take off everything that can make you have an ability to fight back at him. He fights a total war. This tactic was also used in World War II. And it got completely into a war, total war. It didn't start out that way. Even the Germans didn't start out the war, total war. They actually started out bombing and taking strategic. It was taking over places, but they was fighting an army, not necessarily the people. But there come a time when the people wouldn't buckle that they started bombing everything. They tried to annihilate everything. In the Blitz of England, what was called, known as the Blitz, they bombed them indiscriminately. They just come over and bombed and tried to wreck the whole place, believing that if you didn't hit the factory, it didn't matter, because you would tear up the road systems or you'd kill the guy that worked in the factory. They tried to take every advantage they could. You know, when the United States entered the war, their 8th Air Force that would fly over into Europe and bomb military sites of Germany started off as said, we are not going to be that barbaric. We are going to only attack strategic targets. But it wasn't long before they gave up that idea and started just spreading wholesale damage. You're doing it to us, we're going to do it back to you. And it's called total war. If we can demoralize you by killing your children, we're going to kill your children. If we can stop them from growing up and fighting, we're going to kill children. We're going to destroy your grandparents, whatever it takes to do this job. Anybody that can lay a finger to us, we're going to do it all. Do you know the devil's fighting a war of total war against us? And this is why the scripture says to keep your heart with all diligence. Because in every avenue of life, the devil can take and will, absolutely will, take advantage of you in life. You may get a sympathy for something in this world, but I'm going to warn you against sympathies of something in this world. The devil has a plan in that sympathy that if he can and get your heart stuck on something, he will bring that to bigger and bigger and bigger until it'll be a problem to you that you cannot handle. You remember in the scriptures where these guys came up to Israel and just said they acted like they was these guys from, got them some old moldy bread, got them some, and made them out like they'd come, and cause they wanted them to think that they wasn't people of the land, but they had come from a long, where you come from? Oh, we come from a long way. We've come a long way just like you have. And all this, and you know they ended up accepting them and they become thorns to them because they landed in. That's what total war will do. We want Lord to help us to realize that we're in a battle tonight and we can't afford to allow our hearts to go out to these things and to not realize who we are and what we are and what we're capable of. We need to defend our hearts against whatever it is that the world may try to bring our way. There's nothing wrong with being cautious. As the scripture says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly means that I'm walking around the matter. I'm willing to walk around the edges of it circumspectly. I'm looking into it. I'm wondering about it. I'm praying about it. I'm trying to see whether this is a good place. Do you know some things may be acceptable to you tonight that's not work, will not work for me? There may be things and weaknesses in my life that even though you may say this is an okay thing, I'm going to have to stay clear of that thing if I guard my own heart. And if I don't guard my own heart in it, there's going to be an avenue for the devil to get in there, and he's going to bring a lot of havoc to my life. And if I'm not very careful, and his desire is to totally destroy you and I. Proof of that is, in a scripture, where Jesus goes to the land of the Gadarenes. You remember? And there was a man there that had a lot of devils. He had a lot of spirits in him. And Jesus asked him about his name, and he said, "My name is Legion, for there is many." The man was a man that went around the tombs, and he lived in the tombs, and he run around naked, and he cut himself, and they come in and tried to fetter him with chains and stuff, and they couldn't do it for the strength that he had, and he was like a wild animal and a wild beast, and sounds like the devil to me. It sounds like what the devil would like to do to every one of us, given his total liberty. And I'd like to ask you today, is our society not becoming animalistic? If you look around, and I'm not bringing a big doom and gloom to every time, I'm going to tell you, just look at it and see if the devil isn't making a lot of hay in our world today. And what is it that's coming out of there? Is it beauty? Is it love? Is it good things that's coming out of this change that the world has in our evolution to higher things and those kind of things that people say? No, it's not. As we go away from God as a society, we are more and more seeing the total warfare that the devil's playing on our people. More and more. He is not willing that he would let anybody go. He's attacking on every hand. He's attacking every place that he can. And this is no time to get sympathies. We are to love everybody. And the saints do. We love everybody no matter who they are. And we pray that the Lord would help them to find the same grace that we found. Because that's all we are. People that's found the grace of God. But the devil's making a lot of inroads into people's lives. Lord, help us in this land of the Gadarenes. You remember the story? And the legion speaks to Jesus and said, let me go into these swine. Or said something about not taking him out of the land. And Jesus said, go then. And he went into swine. You know what them swine did? You know what swine represents? Just flesh. Impure flesh is what swine represents. And when the devil had no restrictions on him, there wasn't the restrictions of creation on any ability to make choice. Hogs don't make choice. They run by instincts. They're just big pieces of flesh. And when the devil was allowed to go in there, his full will and purpose could be determined at that moment. And then what did they do? They run to death. They run quickly to drown themselves. Under that influence, every one of us given under that total influence of Satan tonight would destroy ourselves before the night was over. And the devil would make sure of it. But the scripture says, keep your heart. So much as the devil could do to every one of us, he will. But the scripture says, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Out of this heart that we have, this seat of our affections, we will do what our heart dictates for us to do. We will do what we love to do. That's why we ought to seek to love the Lord. We ought to seek to serve the Lord. We ought to pray to serve the Lord. Help us in our hearts that we have it from a heart conviction and not just from a please people idea. Pleasing people is not going to work very long for you. Because it's not from the affections of the heart. That's why we all need to have an experience tonight, if you're interested, to seek to have an experience with the Lord where I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it is my purpose, my absolute love and purpose to serve God beyond all other things. And that's why I can do some things. That's why I can go hunting on occasion, or I can go fishing on occasion. I enjoy God's good earth. I can go for a walk. I can do all these things. But I never let fishing, hunting, or going for a walk, or enjoying any other thing come before me and serving the Lord. Because we got to keep our hearts. He ought to be the primary thing in all of our hearts. I don't see the devil in everything, but I do see the devil in everything he can get in. I can see him trying to get into everything. He is attempting to do it because he fights a total war, leaving nothing undone. If God can get through you, to you, if God can, or the devil can upset your life through your unsaved children, he'll do it. Well, there's a natural love and affection to mom and dad and children, but you know the devil can bring in. Oh, Lord, help us to keep our heart with all diligence, because out of that is everything that I am. Out of that is the way I perceive life. Out of that is the way I see things. Out of that is the way I approach my fellow man. Out of that is everything. When I see it from a godly point of view, Lord, help us. Another scripture we want to look at is in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Lord, help us to understand this. How many times have I seen the battle come and the flesh rise up to fight? To understand that this war that we walk in the flesh, but our battle is not in the flesh. The battle is not about the flesh. You may see the fleshly reactions of those that are around you, but our response is not the flesh. It isn't the war after the flesh. We can't win the victory through the flesh. We'll never gain the victory for them through the flesh. But to realize that our war is not in the flesh. We don't battle that way. We battle in the Spirit. Do you know that there is spiritual powers? And then there is the ultimate spiritual power. God is in control of these things. And through our spiritual warfare, folks, we can change the determination of the enemy. Through our spiritual warfare, we can fight this total war that the devil is trying to fight. The devil will do anything he can. Do you know I realize this sometimes in the space of time that it takes me to come from sleep to total awake, being awake. There is a time of weak-mindedness right there in there that the devil attacks me in. He'll fight a total war on you. And right there in that moment of time to where I'm in a state of not making total rational decisions and all, I can feel sometimes I wake up in a moment and all of a sudden I have the darkest, dreariest hopelessness in my soul right there at that time. It's a devil fighting me right there at a time that I can't say, get out of here, devil. I serve God. Right there at that time, I can feel the most intense pressure of darkness on me. It's from a devil that's fighting a total war. But we don't war against the flesh, and we war against spiritual wickedness. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not pulling a sword. They that live by the sword shall die by the sword. It isn't pulling a gun. It isn't taking the use of our fleshly benefits, either our fleshly, talents, you may say. Some people are naturally eloquent in their speeches and their ways. But we don't fight in the flesh. We can't use that natural thing to the flesh. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't win anything. It sounds good, but it doesn't win anything. We can't use natural talent. You may have natural talent, natural ability. You know, it isn't us in the flesh that defeats the devil. We can't stand toe-to-toe with him. We can't defeat him by our talents. It isn't education or intellect that we fight the devil with. Men can try that and try to be intellectual. I've seen those that come and gone and failed intellectually, trying to fight the battle of spiritual battle. You can't fight the battle intellectually. But people try to fight it. You can't do it. People fight and try to throw a lot of money at something. Our government likes throwing money at something. People like throwing money. We'll dissolve this problem. We'll beat this problem. Folks, the problem's sin. The problem's Satan. We can't defeat that by throwing money at it. You can't make a program somewhere and say, let's get all of our money together and we'll have enough to defeat drugs. We'll have enough to defeat abortion. We'll have enough to defeat... You can't defeat that way. Because that ain't the element. That's not where it's coming from. It's coming from an enemy that's fighting a total warfare. He'll do it to our children if he can. He's heartless. You think he really is going to care whether he brings the awfulest, most disgusting crud into your little children's life? They're being abused and used all over this world, children are, by an enemy that doesn't care, by an enemy that's trying to destroy. You can't do that by wealth. You can't fight it with beauty. You can't fight it just with good intent. You can't fight it by turning over a new leaf. You can't defeat it just by the will of your own fortitude. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but they're mighty. Tonight, do you know that the Lord has given His people victory over the greatest diabolical force ever? You don't have to cow down to Him at all. Do you know you can have grace tonight from God to defeat that one that is doing so much out there in the world? You remember the scripture where I think it was Paul come along and there was some other guy and Paul was rebuked, cast these devils out. So these other fellas said, hey, man, that looks like a good thing right there. He's casting out these devils. And so they just thought they had tried. We're going to rebuke you in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. Well, we know Paul. Jesus we know. And Paul we know. Got some recognition going in there. And when they was done, there was something of a power. A power and a might. It's mighty through God. Devil had to stand back. Those spirits recognized the name. Lord, help us that the devil recognizes our name. That he recognizes here's a child of God. Do you know that is so encouraging to me tonight? It's encouraging to me that I can be the one that steps in the gap. I'm the one that stands in the gap. And Lord, help us, everyone, is because we have altars and we ask our people to come to the altars. We will preach and then we'll sing and we'll pray and we'll say, come to the altar and get your help. And Lord, help those that go down there to pray for the devil to know their name. Be able to say, I know this one. This one's been able to rebuke me off the scene. This one's been able to pray me out of here. Can't get in there anywhere because God's gave him some power over there. But remember what they said to this one? Well, Jesus we know and Paul we know. Who are you? Who are you? I'm going to tell you who they was. They were somebody that never had the victory. They were somebody that never had been washed in the blood. They didn't have the Spirit of God. They didn't have this might that we're supposed to have. But you know, every one of us here can have it, young, old. Everybody can have this. They can know that they got victory in Jesus. To be able to cast out the devil, to pray the devil. You know, the scripture says, we love this scripture. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's not exactly the way it goes. When I was a boy growing up, now I knew very little about religious things, but I knew what wasn't right in a lot of ways. And there was a couple women in my community that was of a certain religious persuasion that was quite loose in the way they lived. And we was down on the river one time, was a bunch of us swimming, and there was this wasn't an Oklahoma thunderstorm, but there was a quite ferocious storm come up the river valley, and here it comes and angry, and the lightning was flashing, and it was getting dark. And I remember one of them women standing out there and throwing her hands up and said, I rebuke this storm in the name of Jesus. And boy, I took got out of there, because here it comes. Seemed to me like it picked up. That storm didn't rebuke. It fell on there. And I just, after now, I think of that sometimes and think, we know Jesus. And Jesus said for the storm to stop, storm stop. But you, we don't know it. This storm didn't recognize that woman. Well, I wouldn't even think about it myself. But Lord, help us. We can't have the victory. I don't go rebuking the storms and expect them to fly away. But I'm going to tell you something. There is storms that we can rebuke. And there is a work of the devil that you and I can stand up against. If we've got it in our hearts, the Scripture says to keep your heart. Keep your heart. Why? Because if you've never had to face that with the devil, you will. And then what are you going to do? What are you going to do? The Scripture says to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So I'm going to stand on that. You know, the Scripture actually says to submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Submit yourself to God. Keep your heart. Keep your heart. Make sure nothing gets in your heart. Folks, listen, we're being inundated. And more people are watching more and more things. They're being more and more accepted. They're allowing more and more in their heart. They're getting on more and more things that the devil's in. The devil's a master of those things. And then we're going to have to say, Satan, I resist you. I'm going to tell you the way I say it. See it. If you come to my house and borrow my lawnmower, when I get ready to mow my yard, I have every right to come and get my lawnmower if you haven't brought it back. Because you have my thing. And if you got the devil's thing, there ain't no need in telling him you ain't supposed to be here. If you've got some of the devil's things, he's got every right to come there where they're at. The Scripture said, didn't it say that the prince, talking of Jesus, the prince of this world comes, has nothing in me. He come looking, he come to see it, he has nothing in me. There was nothing borrowed. I don't have any of your stuff. I like to tell the devil that when he comes sometimes and is aggravating and fooling around. I like to tell the devil, I don't have your things. You can go because I don't have none of them borrowed. I haven't been using them. You got to get out of here. None of this is yours. This is the Lord's stuff. Keep your heart. For out of it are the issues of life. You be discouraged sometimes? Sure, we get discouraged sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, a surefire recipe for discouragement is not living right. Boy, it's hard to get very encouraged about things when you haven't been living right. Too much confusion in there. Well, I think I might go to the meeting. Well, I'm encouraged about going to the meeting. I don't feel too encouraged about going. Lord, help us keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Well-built things, strongholds. What do you think about the strongholds? What is it that's strong in a person's life? Strongholds. The sin of our hearts are fortified by long indulgence. Strongholds. Places that's not only been entertained, but has been re-entertained. And becomes habitual. You know, we're people of habit. Now, I've told this story a few times, but it was comical to me what happened. My son worked at Snowshoe, and he didn't have any snow tires on, and he needed snow tires to work at Snowshoe. And so he ordered some snow tires, but he didn't have a day off to get them put on. So I said, well, you take my truck, and I'll take your car down to the shop and get the tires on. Well, I never driven his car before. And I called my daughter, and I said, hey, we're going down by the trout stream. You want to go down and go fishing with me? Well, we go down. It's a free ride. It's on Seth's nickel. We'll go down and fish while we're down there, and might catch something, might not, but it's a free ride. She said, sure, I'll go down with you. So we went down and got the tires put on and went down to the river. And when I pulled in, and I went down the river this way. She went down here, and we fished a little bit, 45 minutes or something, come back. We didn't catch no fish. But we come back and said, well, let's go up to the bridge, and we'll see if there's any fish up there. So I got in the car and put the key in and turned the switch. Nothing. Tick, tick, nothing. Oh. Sitting down here, away from the house, 20 miles, sitting down here beside the road, and the battery's dead. That's what I assume. Battery's dead. Here we are. Not my car. Don't know anything about it. Didn't know the battery was weak. I don't know what I left on here. Something's bad. And we talked about, well, somebody will come by. Didn't take our cell phone. Don't know if it would have worked if I had them. There we was, side the road, not knowing what to do. Well, the guy comes. He was fishing. He come up there, and he said, well, he said, y'all stuck. And, well, it's pretty obvious. He had the hood up and sitting there. And he said, I said, I think it's the battery. He said, well, I don't think I have jumpers, but I'll check. And he looked. He didn't have any. I didn't have any in the car. And so he says, well, you want me to, I don't live far from you. You want me to go get my jumpers? I said, well, I won't go anywhere if you want to. I'll be here. And, well, I said, let me try it one more time. You know, sometimes it builds back up. And, yeah, you know, let me try it one more time. Well, I get in to try it, and I notice something. See, my truck that I get in and drive 10 or 12 times a day sometimes, in, near the store, back, post office, library, whatever, is on the column. See? His is on the floor. So I pull over, and naturally I turn the windshield wipers on and get out. And left it and drive. Sitting there and drive. It's because it's a habit. See, that's the way I do it. I pull in, put it in park, take the key out, and go. That's the way I do it. I do it 10, 12 times a day. Repetitively. In other words, it's a stronghold in my mind. That's the way I do it. You know, you have things, that's the way you do it. You have reactions. I have reactions to things. If I'm not careful, immediate reactions to things. Because it's habited the way I respond to it. That's the way I pulled in there. It just was a habit. There wasn't nothing wrong with the back. I said, oops, put it up in park, started. Hey, it started. It started, that's right. Because it's got to be in park to start the car. It's a habit. Long indulgence in sin. People's long indulgence, they become strongholds. And you know what tears down that stronghold? It's not our intelligence that breaks people's strongholds. It's not money that'll do it. It can't buy it out of there. It's not talents. It's not beauty. It isn't any of those things that humans can come up with. It's by the Spirit of the Lord that these things are broken. These strongholds that we can break down in our lives and in people's lives. And we have the ability. Oh, devil's waging a total war against us. And we need a total war back against it. We need to guard on every line. Make sure that I'm not habited in my response to things. I've seen me respond to the Lord in the same kind of habited way. I've had the times somebody would come and say, or the Lord bring it in, or and my immediate response is that, nope, that's out of what I do. Wait a minute. Maybe the response should be, Lord, what would you have me do here in this situation? The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but they are mighty. To the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. You know, there's a lot of imaginations out there in the world today about how things ought to be. What life is really about and what good there is in life. It's all imagination. There's all kind of things out there to say, this makes life better. This makes life better. All that old religion sours life. We make life better by all this. It's all imaginations. You know, to be able to really present the people that have the needs, the strongholds, those kind of things in their life, we're going to have something. Lord, help us. It says, in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Over in 2 Corinthians 6, first verse says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Lord, help us that we don't receive the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Wow! All that?
with victory?
All that with grace? To be able to face all of those kind of places and still have my integrity? It'll take something. Then, I think there's a reference here, in my mind anyway, to the weapons of our warfare that aren't carnal. They're mighty. What are those weapons? He said, by pureness. We fight the corruption of this world with pureness. That's how we fight it. We don't fight it by indulgence. We don't fight it by going along with it. We don't fight it by being indifferent. We fight it with purity. That's why we fight it. How do you fight? How do you fight the notion out there that you can't live free from sin? Anybody want to take a stab at that one? How do you fight the notion that you can't live free from sin? How about living free from sin? How do you fight corruption with purity? That's how you fight it. When there's lying and deceit around you, you stand up and be honest in the face of it. When men look at you and expect it in that situation, anybody would be dishonest. And you stand up and be true. You just fought a fight. And you've kept your heart. This is the weapons that we fight with. We fight with purity. In every situation, we find the purity that's in it. We find the rightness in it. Lord, this is what we're after. This is what we're about. We're to prove to the world that right here in 2015, in this corrupt world, there is a people, by grace of God, that live pure and have pure notions. I'm going to tell you something. I'm critical. I'm really critical. When someone comes and there's deceptions in their motives, I don't find Jesus deceptive. I don't find God deceptive. I find Him open and true. And I think these people are supposed to be open and true, not deceptive. By pureness. By knowledge. You know what knowledge is? Knowledge, the root word is know. To know. What is it that we need knowledge of? A true, real knowledge of the plan of salvation, not heard by the hearing of my ears, but by the experience of my heart. I know salvation's real. All the gainsayers can't take away the experience that the Lord gave me that day when I got saved. It changed the outlook of my life. I know. I got a knowledge of that, a knowing. Not only that, but I can go on with my experience and tell you of times of healings, of blessings, of visitations of the Lord, of revelations of scriptures, of revelation of life that the Lord's given me. That I might know, that I might fight this warfare that we're in, not with the flesh, not by carnality, but by the war weapons of our warfare. The Lord gives us a weapon here. It's a knowledge of our hearts. That the Lord is real. Now, we wasn't there, but how many believe that Jesus was resurrected? How many believe Jesus was resurrected? He had to have been. He lives in my heart. He had to be. He still lives. He was resurrected. I don't doubt it at all. But I wasn't there. But that knowledge is sure a defense against the devil's lies. Because then at any time I can say, but what about Jesus? You know, over there in Jude, there's a scripture where Michael the archangel disputed over the bones of Moses, and he said he does not make a railing accusation against him. But he said to old Satan, Lord Jesus rebuke you. Oh boy. Jesus rebuke you, Satan, where I can't fight you. Jesus won the victory for me. I don't go around saying that I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a Christian saved from sin by grace. That's what I believe. And I believe that I can point to Jesus, to the devil, when he comes and say, I was saved by the blood of Jesus. You go talk to Jesus about it. That's a knowledge. That's a knowledge. That's what we fight with a purity, with a knowledge. This is the weapons. By long suffering, Lord,
Help us to be long-suffering people to prove this is Jesus was long-suffering with us, and we're to be long-suffering. It's one of our weapons to be long-suffering. What are you long-suffering? You know what I think of long-suffering? You usually think of long-suffering, suffering long with somebody. It's doing something like that. But a lot of times my long-suffering, and when I'm suffering long, is when I'm having faith that God is going to intervene. And I need to wait, patiently wait. I say patiently wait because there is an ability you can wait impatiently if you don't have any choice. I told a woman, said, well, thank you for your patiently waiting. And I said, well, actually, I didn't. I just waited. Well, I know what goes on inside. I know what goes on. But the long time means that Jesus is going to. Folks, it has to be a part of our faith that we fight this battle with, no matter what it looks like. Jesus will prevail. No matter what it looks like and how dark and gloomy it gets, our Lord will prevail. And we suffer long because of it. We will stay in there in the battle, and we'll keep ourselves as humble and keep our head down as much as we can. Lord, have your way in it. It's a weapon of our warfare. By kindness. I think of a dear friend of mine and some of yours, I think, Brother Jim White. Brother Jim White was a man that was very rough man in his days of sin. When the Lord saved him, he was never a gentle person, but he always wanted to be. And after he got saved, his pursuit was that the Lord would make him a kind and a gentle man. And you want to get him to the altar, you just start preaching about that. And old Brother Jim would get up and come to the altar with tears. He'd say, I want to be gentle. You know why? Because it's a great weapon. It's a great weapon against unkindness. Well, what do you fight unkindness with? Kindness? What's the best weapon to fight this old world and its crudeness and its unkindness and its dark? Kindness. We have a weapon to fight with. Oh, it's not the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. But you got to know what you're shooting at. You know, got to know what your aim, your goal is. Our goal is the salvation of our souls and the salvation of all that's around. That's the goal. And that when we got that aim in there, then you get rid of the carnality because it doesn't fit the purpose. By kindness, by the Holy Ghost. That's something that's spitted in there like that. But that's the power of it. David said in his battle with Goliath, the battle's not mine. You've intruded upon the Lord. The battle is not by the Spirit of the Lord. That's our battle. That's the cry there. And if that's true, then shouldn't I entertain the Holy Ghost? Shouldn't I be cautious of what He wants in my life? Shouldn't I try to be as close by the entertained Lord, your Spirit in my life? What was that in Revelations? He said that He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I thought, what a powerful statement. He was in the Spirit. In the Spirit. By the Holy Ghost. The leadership of the Holy Ghost. By love, unfeigned, unpretended, pure. Love, you know, we can put on a smile and shake a hand. And we can act like, oh, lovey-dovey. But this says unfeigned. You're not faking it. This is real. All the way down. Come with the genuineness. I care. You're going to fight the hatred and the malice of this world. You're going to fight it with love unfeigned. Got a weapon. Got a weapon that the Lord's given us to fight these battles with. Keep your heart. You ever have feelings? The old devil bring feelings against you, brother. Keep your heart. Better keep your heart. You ever have a bitterness or thing that comes back? I have things that come that I have to deal with. Come back. Keep your heart. You're not going to win it without it. This says love unfeigned. By the word of truth.
You know, I love truth. Bible says that the Lord hates every false way. Well, I love the truth. And I love the truth. And I'll say this. I love the truth in every... If I don't like being wrong, I'll just tell you. I don't like being wrong. And I'm wrong sometimes about things. I'm not saying I'm always right. I just say I hate being wrong. I love the truth about everything. Somebody said the other day something about, I think Sister Mary asked us, Ashley, is this sweetener better for you than sugar, or is sugar better? I don't know about it, so I'm not going to say, but I'd like to know the truth about it. I just don't believe because somebody said this and somebody said that, because the way I look at it, the people that make sugar would probably say something negative about the sweetener, and probably the people that make sweetener is going to say that sugar's real bad, and I think you can make a lot of things, and probably to some degree they're both bad, and maybe they're both some good, but it doesn't matter. I want to know what the truth is. Understand what I'm saying? And I go from that all the way, but especially in eternal matters. I want to know what the truth is. Lord, I want to know. If I've got to do this, I'll do it. I want to know what the truth of this matter is. And do you know one of our weapons that we fight falseness with? It's truth. It's the truth. This is the truth. The truth will set you free. What else will? False things won't set you free. They bind you up. Make you believe things ain't true. You do things that ain't right. All those kind of things. But he says, of the truth, the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. Now, let the Lord get into the particulars. But folks, there's nothing wrong with standards at all. They're right all the way through. Every doctrine's got to have a standard to it. There is doctrines. There is the doctrine of modesty. It's a doctrine. Bible doctrine of modesty. How you dress and how you act to fit to modesty is a standard. And every one of us that's honest ought to be seeking the truth about that standard. Lord, I want to know. Not just what other people say. I want to know what's expedient. Understand me? That takes it to the furthest, all of it. To the furthest of what I can be as an example and witness for Christ. In every standard. Lord, help us to know what that standard is. You know, I love going around. We go around a lot and people come up to us regularly. And say, where do you go to church at? And I never told them I went to church. It's because there's a standard that already suggested. You don't have to wonder about it. It's a good opening for that. I say, thank you, Lord. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. Truth. Righteousness. It says, the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Righteousness. On every hand that we have pursued. You know, this is a dead message in the world for the most part, even the Christian world. It's a dead message. They don't believe that you can even live a righteous life. But the Bible declares a righteous life. And again, there's a root word there. It's right. It's a matter of living right. That means, is it right to lie? No. So we don't do it. Is it right to tell the truth? Yes. That's righteous. And isn't it any more than that? That's what it means. To go live our lives in a right way. It's what that's talking about. The armor of righteousness is saying it because it is a protection against the total war that the devil's trying to make on our lives. You can take that right on out of your life. Some people don't believe that it's wrong to write your name if you're not saying a lie. If it says it on paper and you write your name to it, it's not the same as telling a lie. Well, let's get a good working definition. The intent to deceive. That's all it is. That's what a lie is. When you're intending to deceive. You know, I can deceive you by the way I act and don't have to say a word. I know I can. I've done it a lot in my life. I know how to make people think something that ain't right if I want to make them do it. But it's a lie. And there's no reason. Well, I didn't say it just that way, but they went off thinking something. Well, brother, you just lied. But the script and the devil's waging total warfare on your soul. You better be careful about that. But the scripture says that righteousness is an armor. You know, there's nothing to come back on and say, what did you mean by that? Or what you lie? You lie once, you have to lie to cover it. But with the truth, you can just keep right on telling it. And you know, you can look everybody right in the eye when you tell the truth. You don't need to run from it. Truth is that way. That's what it is, the truth. So Lord, help us to keep our hearts by honor and dishonor, by evil report and a good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. I want to end with scripture in Revelations 3. And 17. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know, it sounds to me like that somebody got snookered by the devil because they thought they had it. We're rich and have need of nothing. Got it all in order, got it all right. But the Lord said to them, you don't know. You've been deceived. You didn't keep your heart. It says, you're increased in good and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And I just wanted to end with this because I'm going to tell you, if the devil gets his way into whatever capacity he can and in whatever time period it takes him to do it, if he could tonight, he'd have every one of us deep in sin before daylight. But because he can't, he's going to take the time that it takes to make us poor and miserable and wretched, naked, blind. And he'll do it as long as it takes him to do it. He's going to do it. And if he can plant an inkling, a seed, get a toe in the door of your life, and in whatever capacity he can, he's going to put something in there so that he can continue to wage his total war on your life. And folks, there has been many families that was in good standing and the Lord was blessing. And there was a member of that family that got all sidetracked and the devil wreaked havoc. And you see all kind of terrible things happen. That's what the devil's trying to do. Keep your heart with all diligence. You pray for me.